Okay, here we are. We're almost through with this book. We got just a couple more chapters to go. "What's that?" Audrey Mitchell pointed to my hand as we played Bible bingo in the fellowship hall. It had been raining all morning, so we hadn't been able to go outside and have a balloon race like Miss Rhonda had planned for us to do. I looked down at the drawing I had done on the back of my hand with a pen. "A blackbird in a cage," I said, flipping my hair the way Jackie flips hers. Audrey screwed up her face like she'd just seen a dead possum squashed flat in the middle of the road. "Check it out," I said, thrusting my hand toward her face and winking. I'd been trying to do all the things Jackie does, flipping my hair and winking, acting cool and confident, but so far it didn't seem to be working. Most of those kids at Bible school still treated me like I had cooties. "What's it for?" Audrey said. And then the darndest thing happened. I guess being a ray of sunshine had given me some real confidence. Not pretend confidence, because I looked her square in the eye and said, "It's the same as the tattoo my dad has on his hand." The minute those confident words came out, old Mr. Doubt tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Now look what you've done. She's going to ask you where your daddy is, and then what are you going to say?" But miracle of miracles, Audrey didn't ask me where my daddy was. She just said, "Oh," and studied her Bible bingo card. So I pushed Mr. Doubt aside and said, "His name is Scrappy, and he's getting corrected." Audrey put another token on her bingo card. "What does that mean?" she asked. "Means he's getting corrected," I said. "He'll be home any day now." "So then, are you going back to Raleigh?" she said. At that, Howard's head shot up from studying the bingo card, and he stared at me. Yeah, I said. "Sure." "When?" Howard said. I shrugged. "I don't know. However long it takes for Scrappy to be corrected, I guess." Suddenly, my confidence began to spin out of control. Faster and faster until it rose right up through the ceiling and out the roof of Rocky Creek Baptist Church, disappearing into the sky and leaving me there in the fellowship hall with a stomach ache. I licked my thumb and wiped the blackbird tattoo off, leaving a smudgy black spot on my hand. Suddenly, somebody yelled, "Bingo!" and Mrs. Rhonda clapped her hands and pointed to the table full of prizes, coloring books and glittery pens and erasers shaped like Noah's Ark. "Clear your cards," Miss Rhonda said. "Let's start a new game." Later that day, me and Howard sat on the Odoms' front porch steps watching Wishbone and Cotton playing in the sprinkler. Cotton jumped over puddles of muddy water while Wishbone scampered along behind him, ears flopping and tail wagging. "I've been wondering about something," Howard said, scratching at mosquito bites on his freckled leg. "How come you shoved TJ at Bible school yesterday?" "What do you mean?" I asked. "I mean, why'd you shove him?" "He was making fun of you, Howard." "I know." I stared at him. His elbows were squeezed together over his glasses, and he looked so serious for a minute. I almost laughed, but then he said, "He was making fun of me, not you." "Then you're the one who should have shoved him," I said. "Nah." "Why not?" I said. "Why do you let kids make fun of you and don't do one darn thing about it?" "'Cause I'd be shoving someone every day of my life." "So? So? What good is that?" We sat in silence for a few minutes. Cotton was stomping in the mud and Wishbone was sipping at the water swirling out of the sprinkler. "But why'd you shove TJ?" Howard said. "Because he was being mean to you." I wiped muddy water off my legs. "Duh," I added. "Why do you care about that?" "'Cause you're my friend," I said. "I don't like kids to be mean to my friends, okay?" "I'm your friend?" "Sure you are," I said. "Duh," I added again. "I am?" "Well, yeah." Then my wish came true.
It did?
"Yeah." Howard blushed a little while, with his freckled face turning pale pink. Well, part of it anyway. I wished for two things. So since one of them has come true, I can tell it to you. I wish that we'd be friends. Well, dang, I never would have guessed that. You'd think that a red-headed boy with glasses, who was named Howard and had an up-down walk, would have a lot more to wish for than being friends with me. But I admit I felt a smile on my face and a little hope in my heart, 'cause maybe wishes really do come true. Maybe some wishes just take longer than others. The next day after Bible school, Wishbone and I were sitting out front while Gus worked in the garden. Tiny wrens and sparrows hopped around in the yard and fluttered up in the bird feeder on the fence post. After a while, Bertha came out with a couple of cats trailing along behind her. She smelled like lavender, and I couldn't help but notice how much she looked like Mama, with her hair curled around her face and her eyes crinkled up at the edges. I figured she was going to tell me a story about some lady in her knitting group or something, but she said, "I found that note." My stomach squeezed up and I felt kind of scared for a minute. "That note in your lunchbox," she said. Well, what in the world could I say now? I felt like a big dumb baby for writing that note. I wanted Bertha to go away. I did not want to talk about that note. But Bertha did not go away. She sat petting the cat, purring in her lap, and gazing up at Gus weeding in the garden. And then she said, "You know, Charlie, me and Gus always wanted children." She rubbed Wishbone's belly with her bare foot. "We have had many blessings in our life together, but having children has not been one of them. So, I watched her foot rubbing Wishbone and waited. "Well," she said, "I guess I'm just not good at doing things that mothers do." My heart sank and I scrambled to think of something to say, but I couldn't. "When I saw that note, I wanted to kick myself," she went on. "How come I didn't think how much a little girl would love a note like that in her lunchbox? I wish, like anything, I had thought to do that, but I didn't. Just like I didn't know how silly that rainbow lunchbox was." And then there was her hand on my knee. It was dark and tanned from hours in the sun, fingernails rough and dirty from pulling weeds in the garden. "So I hope you'll be patient with me while I learn," she said. I hung my head and nodded. I should have said something nice to her. I should have said, "Oh, don't even worry about it. That rainbow lunchbox was no big deal." I should have said, "I don't even care about that dumb note." But the truth was, all I could do was sit there feeling her warm hand and breathing her lavender smell. "Let's go help Gus," she said. So the three of us pulled weeds and picked beans and pinched dead flowers off the marigolds. Wishbone sat outside the gate and whined to get in, but he wasn't allowed because of his digging. When we were done, we climbed into Gus's car and picked up Howard before heading down the mountain to get some ice cream. Wishbone stuck his head out the window, his ears flapping like crazy in the wind, while me and Harold sang Bible school songs. Every once in a while, we passed a clearing with a view of the mountains stretching out as far as you could see. A smoky blue haze floating over the treetops. It reminded me of my first day in Colby when Gus had told me why these are called the Blue Ridge Mountains. Sometimes it felt like just yesterday that I'd sat on the school bus with all those kids I didn't know, riding through this town and thinking every laundromat and trailer park and shabby little house along the way was the sorriest thing I'd ever seen. But now, here I was, singing Bible school songs with my friend Howard and my arms wrapped around my very own dog. And when I looked out at the now familiar sights of Colby, I realized they didn't seem to look quite so sorry anymore. Bertha chattered away in the front seat and the whole way to town while Gus nodded silently. We got ice cream at the dairy freeze and sat at a picnic table trying to eat it quick before the summer heat made it run down our cones and drip into our laps. Bertha scooped a little bit into a paper cup for Wishbone, and Howard let him have the last bite of his cone. On the way home, me and Howard taught Gus and Bertha some of our Bible school songs, and then the best thing happened. I saw a yellow railroad car. That was on my list of things to wish on. Thanks to Fulton Banner, a crazy old man who lived next door to us in Raleigh. Yellow railroad cars aren't too plentiful, he told me. When you see one, make a wish. For a minute, I thought I might not even bother making my wish. Maybe I was just wasting my time. But then something inside me told me not to give up and to keep on trying. I mean, you never know, right? So I looked back at the yellow railroad car as we passed it and made my wish. And so the summer drifted by up there in the Blue Ridge Mountains. I was glad when Bible school was over, and all I had to do was play cards on Howard's porch or take Wishbone down to the creek. Some days we rode our bikes to nowhere in particular, and once in a while we sold vegetables and bread and butter pickles out of the wagon at the end of the driveway. Mrs. Odom taught me how to crochet and helped me make a scarf for Bertha. Gus took me fishing and even won a few Bible bucks in Sunday school. Jackie called every now and then. She had a new boyfriend named Jake who drove a motorcycle. Carol Lee's parents didn't like him. But who cares, she said. Not me. She didn't get the bank teller job she wanted, but she met some guy who needed a file clerk at his insurance agency, and then she could finally quit that Waffle House job. I got a few more letters from Scrappy. He didn't say much except, "It sure has been hot here lately," or "I'm getting fat eating jailhouse food." Ha ha. I still made my wish every day because I decided I was not ready to give up yet. I wished on a butterfly that landed on me, on a camel-shaped cloud, on a cricket in the house, on a lightning bug glowing in my ring finger. I found another four-leaf clover and a penny in the parking lot, and one time we drove across the state line into Tennessee, which is good for wishing if you clap three times fast. And then, one day, a lady from social services showed up at Gus and Bertha's. She snooped around the house, her eyes flitting here and there, examining every little thing. She made a face at the cat hair on the couch and raised her eyebrows at those canning jars in my room. Bertha followed along behind her, chattering a mile a minute about what a big help I am around the house and how much I'd loved vacation Bible school. Oh, of course she left out the parts about T.J. Rainey and that dumb lunchbox note. "And check out her dog," she said, nodding toward Wishbone snoring by the back door. You wouldn't believe how she takes care of that dog. Feeds him, walks him, and lets him sleep right on her pillow every night. That lady made another face and then asked if there was somewhere we could talk. "Why don't we go out on the back porch?" Bertha said. So we sat out on the porch with the afternoon sun high above the mountains while that lady sat in Gus's chair and told us that the situation back in Raleigh had improved. I watched Bertha's face turn white and felt my stomach do a flip. Improved? That lady went on to tell us how Mama was doing better and trying harder and deserved a chance. She explained about how it was always best for children to live with their real parent, whenever possible, she added quickly. Then she blabbered on and on, but all I heard were words like Charlie's well-being and supervision and stable environment. Bertha kept pushing at her hair with a shaky hand and nodding, and then that lady said she would send someone to pick me up in a few weeks, and that was that. Believe me when I tell you, my head was spinning. Why was I feeling so scared? I sat there on that porch with confusion swirling around me like a swarm of angry bees. Shouldn't I be feeling happy? Hadn't I wanted to go back to Raleigh? Didn't I hate these hillbilly kids here in Colby Didn't I want to get the heck out of a place where my only friend was an up-down boy, and I slept on Cinderella pillowcases in a shabby old house hanging off the side of a mountain? And then I had a thought that made me jump up and run to the front door where Bertha was watching that lady's car disappear up the driveway. "What about Wishbone?" I hollered. "Tell that lady I'm not leaving Wishbone." Bertha swiped at her cheeks and pulled me to her and said the perfect Bertha thing. "I will make things right for you, Charlie," she said. "I promise." That's it for today, girls. Love ya. Another chapter in the